I heard the gospel through the preacher, and just in my little heart and my faith, I just trusted the Lord. And ever since, he's been with me. He's been my companion and my helper and my comfort and my strength over the years.
Sago, Skinagoga, welcome to The Storyteller. From the deserts of the Southwest to the frozen tundra of the North, and all across this great land, there are stories. True stories of First Nations people whose lives have been changed forever, who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Join us now as we listen to The Storyteller.
Hi, my name is Mae Moses. It's a nickname for Mabel. Moses. I got my last name from my husband, Ted Moses, who went to be with the Lord. And my maiden name is Roberts. My family came from the Inupiaq Eskimo people, Unalaq and Malemut. They were two different dialects. And I was born in 1944 in July, in the biggest salmonberry bonanza of the season, my mother said, and she couldn't go pick them. But she said that two ladies were so kind that they picked a barrel keg of salmon berries for her that year. So I feel very proud being a salmon berry baby. But anyway, I was born in Unalakleet, Alaska. It's just below Nome on the Norton Sound. Our life in Unalakleet was a village life. We had different seasonal activity. Winter time was mostly indoors and, walking to school, going to church, family get-togethers, for meals and things. And sometimes our father would come home with some game that he may have gone out to hunt. In the spring and summer, we had a vegetable garden. I believe that teachers and the missionaries probably taught people how to garden, and we had vegetables and potatoes, and then later, early in the summer, we'd go up to our fish camps up the main river in Unalakleet and spend a couple months up there making dried fish and other foods from fish and greens, and then toward the fall, we'd have go on trips to pick berries in the same area or other places. That village is located on a sandbar spit, and today our house that we had is no longer there. It'd been eroded away many years ago, since we had moved to Anchorage in the 1950s. I remember we had activities too of going to church, and those would be happy times, especially during the holidays or Christmas. We'd be given scripture verses to learn, and those times I remember were very happy. And there was our time. I remember we'd have my grandparents on my mother's side come to our house after church and have a meal, of fish and the other native foods. And I recall those times were very happy. The Sunday school teachers had taught. I'd learned from somewhere, and I guess it was from the church, how to pray at nighttime, and that had always been with me, and that it was just a little prayer that said, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And even before I heard the preacher and the gospel and to come to this Jesus, I knew that there was someone, a God somewhere. I knew, I knew, and I would say this prayer every time that I think of it. And I believe that was where the seed was planted, as far as knowing who God is. My family came to Anchorage in 1953. My father was a heavy equipment operator and construction worker, and came to Anchorage for work in that area, and my whole family moved here from Unalakleet. And it was that following year or spring, I believe it was in April or somewhere there the following year, Our family went to this little Native Baptist mission on East 3rd Avenue in Anchorage. It is still there in existence, and I'm still a member there currently, and I grew up there and came to know the Lord when I was 9. I just trusted Him and prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart. And what I mean by having Jesus come into my heart was I had heard even at a young age that I needed Jesus, that there was sin. Although I did not completely understand the full meaning of sin, I knew that in my heart I was didn't feel good about this uneasiness I had when I heard this sermon one Sunday. I was standing by my mother in church, and at the end of the sermon, the preacher made pleas for those who wanted to come and ask for help in knowing Jesus, and so I did this. But I hesitated. I looked up at my mother, and I think she knew that I was being convicted through God's Spirit that in my heart that I needed to do something. And I looked up at her, I remember, and she looked at me and she nodded like a yes, and then I went forward, and that was the easiest step I did. And I remember that very much to this day, you know, clearly. It didn't matter, you know, that there were people around. I just did it. And I was baptized shortly thereafter at First Baptist Church. This little mission was just a little house that they met in. And I'm very thankful for my family for bringing us to church, and that I heard the gospel through the preacher, and just in my little heart and my faith, I just trusted the Lord. And ever since He's been with me, He's been my companion and my helper and my comfort and my strength over the years. And so my parents, though later on they had gone away from the Lord, but with some problems, I knew that I could trust God, trust the Lord in times, especially when I was afraid or didn't know what to do, and the fact that I had learned to read my Bible, and especially in the book of Psalms, I'd read the scripture there, and that would encourage me in my heart and to keep trusting the Lord and to pray at any time. Through a lot of the Sunday school and some of the Bible training in the church, I learned that I felt God calling me to serve Him in the church. And because I had such an interest in music, I wanted to learn piano. And then God led me through my pastor's wife to start me on some lessons. And then she, before I even had a second or third lesson, she said that I'd do better if I went to a regular piano teacher. And so I went on a program to start lessons, and then I practiced in church. But those early years, in my early teens, I wanted to dedicate my life to the Lord, and I didn't know where I would go. I didn't think that I was going to be one is sent out from the church, but I wanted to do the Lord's work, and He led me in the music, I believe. And I used the gift of my voice or singing, was in the choirs and even children's choirs and other choirs, and then played the piano at a very young age in the church, practiced in the church at the church piano, and I married the music director and song director, and I probably married him because he had a piano at his apartment. But he was also the deacon, and he has since gone on to be with the Lord in 1996. But I praise God for bringing me through some of the pain of losing a loved one, a father, a grandfather, and a husband. And God is good. He's brought me through this even the last 7 years, almost 8 years now. And it wasn't easy, but I know the Lord helped me. And that is a testimony that I have concerning my husband. I know he's, even my oldest son, who was in the ministry for a while, had said that even though his father's gone, his testimony will follow him even after he is gone away to heaven. His works here on earth will follow him, and his testimony will continue to live and affect people and in their memory, and even in my children and grandchildren. So I thank the Lord for that. God has allowed me and the privilege to play for the Native New Life meetings on Monday nights whenever I can, and at the annual Native Music Hall, which is an outreach ministry in music and gospel singing and some other ministries that the Native New Life does during the Anchorage Fur Rendezvous here in Anchorage in the winter. And if God uses that to bless people, then I'm happy. And I just pray that whatever songs or music that I use with God's leadership, it will draw people to him, because that's the only reason why I've done this for many years. And it's a joy to serve God this way. I know God draws people to him. God can speak to you even without a preacher at a pulpit in a church. He can speak to you. And if you hear him speaking to you, if you hear a voice in your heart, answer that and go in faith. Go, just take that step to trust God, to take your burden away, your sin. Just take that step to ask Jesus to help you. And God can take away sin. He has made a way through Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, no matter what they are, big or small. If you need the Lord, you need the Lord. You need to take that step in faith to trust him.
Has God taken away your sin? Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? God tells us that there's no other way to be forgiven. Some think that if their good works outweigh their bad, God will accept them. But God says that all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. They could never atone for the wrong things we have done. That's why he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. He paid in full the penalty we deserved. Then God raised him from the dead, proving that he was satisfied. My friend, unless you repent, you will have to face God's judgment. But if you receive Jesus Christ, he will give you new life. We read in the Bible, "He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Want to know more? Please visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. You can also find us on Facebook at Without Reservation. Want to take The Storyteller with you? Be sure to download our app. Thanks for listening, and remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.